The Reality Dysfunction by Peter F. Hamilton. Read by Robbie McNabb. It lasts 41 hours, 46 minutes. Here is a brief description of the book. In AD 2600, the human race is finally beginning to realize its full potential. But now something has gone catastrophically wrong. On a primitive colony planet, a renegade criminal's chance encounter with an utterly alien entity unleashes the most primal of all our fears, an extinct race which inhabited the galaxy eons ago called the Reality Dysfunction. It is the nightmare which has prowled beside us since the beginning of history. This book contains passages of sex and language that might be considered offensive. The Reality Dysfunction, Book 1 of the Night's Dawn Trilogy. Chapter 1. Space outside the attack cruiser Beasling tore open in 5 places. For a moment, anyone looking into the expanding rents would have received a true glimpse into empty infinity. The pseudo-fabric structure of the wormholes was a photonic dead zone, a darkness so profound it seemed to be spilling out to contaminate the real universe. Then ships were suddenly streaking up out of the gaping termini, accelerating away at 6 Gs, twisting round on interception trajectories. They were different from the spherical Garrison naval craft which they had tracked between the stars, graceful, streamlined teardrop shapes, larger and dangerously powerful, alive. Nestled snugly in the armored and sealed command capsule at the heart of the Beasling, Captain Kyle Prager was shocked out of a simple astrogation review by a datavised proximity alert from the flight computer. His neural mnemonics relayed information from the ship's external sensor clusters directly into his brain. Out here, in the great emptiness of interstellar space, starlight wasn't powerful enough to provide an optical band return. He was relying on the infrared signature alone, arching smears of pinkness which the discrimination programs struggled to resolve. Radar pulses were fuzzed and hashed by the ship's electronic warfare pods. The combat program stored in the memory clusters of his neural mnemonics went into primary mode. He datavised a quick sequence of instructions into the flight computer, desperate for more information. Trajectories from the 5 newcomers were computed, appearing as scarlet vector lines curving through space to line up ominously on the Beasling and her 2 escort frigates. They were still accelerating, yet there was no reaction drive exhaust plume. Kyle Prager's heart sank. "Void Hawks," he said. On the couch next to him, Tane Ogley, the Beasling's patterning mode officer, groaned in dismay. "How did they know?" "Confederation Navy intelligence is good," Kyle Prager retorted. "They knew we'd try a direct retaliation. They must have monitored our naval traffic and followed us." In his mind, a black pressure was building. He could almost sense the antimatter confinement chambers inside the Beasling twinkling like devilish red stars all around him. Antimatter was the one anathema which was universal throughout the Confederation. No matter what planet or asteroid settlement you were brought up on, they all condemned it. The penalty, if a Confederation Navy ship caught them, was an immediate death sentence for the captain and a one-way ticket on a drop capsule to a penal planet for everyone else on board. There was no choice, of course. The Beasling needed the fantastic Delta V reserve, which only antimatter provided, far superior to the usual fusion drives of atomist starships. The Omniton Defense Force ships would be equipped with antimatter drives. They have it because we have it. We have it because they have it. One of the oldest and feeblest arguments history had produced. Kyle Prager's shoulder muscles relaxed, an involuntary submission. He'd known and accepted the risk, or at least told himself and the admirals he did. It would be quick and painless, and under ordinary circumstances the crew would survive. but he had orders from the Garrison Admiralty. Nobody was to be allowed access to the Alchemist which the Beasling was carrying, and certainly not the Edenists crewing the Voidhawks. Their Bitech science was powerful enough already.